Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. There she is.
I'm here.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm slightly mortified that my son has a new phrase that he's added to his vocabulary, and that is fucking hell. And if you saw the video, you've obviously seen it, but listening in, if you've seen the video, basically he's heard myself or my husband, it's definitely Dozza, saying, fucking hell. And he just says it all the time. And he says a really cockney accent as well, like, fucking hell, which is even funnier because he sounds like, you know, yeah. Oh, God, Georgia. The problem is that when he goes to school and he starts saying fucking hell to everyone, he's going to go, oh, yeah, no, I learned that at home.
You're going to get a phone call.
Are they going to call me?
No, I don't think they do. Surely not. Surely not. That is, I've played that so many times. It really, it's just because he's so definite about it. It's like, what was that word? What, fucking hell? That word? Do you mean that one?
Oh, God. I'm the worst parent ever. But what was brilliant was that when I put it up, so many people said that their children had heard them swearing and also were swearing around the house. So I felt better.
Oh, my gosh. Don't you remember Axel in the summer? Fucking old bean. Do you remember that? Like, literally to someone, aimed at someone as well. Not, you know, just in the comfort of his own home. Aimed at people.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah. And it's funny. It's actually funny.
It's fine. I mean, we don't want to teach our kids all the swear words, but I think just, you know, at home, whatever, it's fine. How are you? How was your weekend?
I'm good. Yeah, it was fine. It's just like this whole lockdown.
You're in tier two,
thing.
Aren't you?
Yeah, and you're not.
No.
No, to be fair, I'm pleased that you're not. It's horrible. It's just annoying, you know, like half term's coming up, and I'm sure that's why they've probably done it. Mm. But it just means now we can't mix with another household, we can't see my parents, like all those things.
You can see your parents in the garden.
Yeah, in the garden, but we live like an hour away, so it's different when, you know, if you're just popping in for a cup of tea, but we don't really just pop into the garden. Anyway, we'll see whatever it's, you know, I don't want to moan about it.
Is that people are going through so many different experiences with this. Somebody reached out to me across the weekend saying, you know, I live in Liverpool and everything is shut.
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, there's nothing to do. Businesses are going under. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for everybody at the moment in different ways, at different levels. And I think I said that this morning on Made by Mamas, just that like, we're here for you if you are feeling absolutely rubbish through the floor, you know, because it's a hard time.
It is.
That's why we need
really
Kit saying fucking hell, because it just brings a bit of sparkle.
Exactly. That's why we need Kit saying fucking hell, and we need Axel asking how he can get the seeds out of his balls.
Yeah, exactly.
So we all need a bit of that in our lives. Oh, how are you? Listen, make us all jealous. What are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing today?
I am going to a spa. Listen, you know what? We've all had our bloody holidays cancelled this year, haven't we? None of us have been away. Like, I think me and Doz got 3 days away with the kids, which was amazing, but obviously just it's been days after days after days, hasn't it? Either working or being at home with the kids, it's difficult. So we've got 24 hours. We're going down to Champneys in Forestmere. We are going to I want to come out like a piece of Wagyu beef at the end of it. It's potted and absolutely nice and ripe.
I can't wait.
It's really funny because they were like, you have to book in to go swimming, and I was like, if I just want to plunge myself into the pool, I've got to book a slot. But yeah, there's loads of rules and restrictions, but you know what? I cannot wait.
Oh, it'll be lovely. Yeah. I had a massage on Saturday night, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, at home.
No way. Love that.
Yeah, I was feeling a bit like, about having my sasso. On Saturdays, I'm now on my own because James is at football. And I was just getting back into, you know, planning Saturdays and doing nice things, and obviously now we can't really do that, so I put the kids to bed at 5:30.
So yeah,
and I booked a massage, so the lady came around to the house. I had to wear a mask, so did she, but it was lovely.
So
nice.
When you put the kids to bed at 5:30, do they wake up early?
No, do you know what? Axel had been ill, but he doesn't go to sleep at 5:30. Like he's laying in his bed, he's listening to stories, he's doing whatever. But Gigi actually did go to sleep at, I think she was asleep by 10 to 6, because I checked. Yeah. And then she didn't wake up till like 6:30 the next morning.
It's amazing,
so that's
isn't
not
it?
Too
it's
bad. Amazing. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, let's all have pampering. I think we all need to do.
Yeah, when we can, let's get it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, we need to get into the chat because we had a really fantastic conversation with this amazing woman last week. And one of the reasons that we wanted to chat to Ellie is because she's one of the most normal, down-to-earth, hilarious people in real life and on social media. The way she captures her parenting moments is genius. She's a comedian by trade. So yeah, she's got the funny bone. And we wanted to kind of go back to the newborn bubble with her because it was definitely a massive, obviously it's a shock for everybody when they have a baby, but for Ellie, I think she was a singleton through and through, and then there was a tiny, tiny baby in her arms. So she tells some very funny stories about the early days. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Ellie Taylor.
Well, what a treat and a delight this is. We've wanted this guest on the podcast for like donkey's years. We finally pinned her down. She is a comedian. She is an actress. She is a presenter. She's a podcaster. She's a mum. She's got a little girl who's nearly 2. She's a wife and she's an all-round absolute mega babe. Today's guest is Ellie Taylor. Hello.
Yay. What an intro. Thank you very much, Debbie.
Welcome to the podcast, mate. How are you doing? How are you feeling? And how's lockdown been?
I'm feeling good. The child is at nursery. She's where she needs to be. I'm not with her, and that is nice. So
tell us what do you do when you're on your own?
This morning I really like the morning bit. I whack her at nursery, then I go for a little run around the park. Gorgeous, lovely sunny day. Quick shower, and then I'm into work. So I'm trying to write some stuff at the moment. So just like a day where I just have 6 hours of sitting in front of a computer and tip tapping and listening to weird musical soundtracks is an absolute joy. So this is like my dream day today, and I get to talk about my favourite subject, which is me and my child. I can bore anyone about this. So to do it professionally, I mean, it's an absolute treat, girls. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. We love this. We're going to look, because obviously our favourite subject is also talking about us and our children. So this is great. just talk to us about the early days, because I knew you when, like, pre-kids, in our sort of ITV days, when we were hanging out in our 20s, when we thought we were the shit. And we weren't necessarily the women that wanted to have children. And I obviously watched your journey on Instagram and that sort of newborn bubble phase. And, you know, how was it for you? How did you find it? How did you cope with it? And what were the challenges for you, I guess?
Yeah, because I've never been maternal. Sort of had no interest in babies at all. I'd always been like, lots of women that have like a real like, you know, visceral cooey reaction to newborns. Yeah. And I never had that. I had that towards cats, and I still do. Like, I love a kitten. Show me a kitten and my ovaries explode. But a baby, I had absolutely no interest. I just would like to do a little handshake and say, how do you do? And that would be quite enough. Thank you. But I kind of sort of got to a point where I thought, do you know what? I mean, it's quite bleak, really. I basically thought to myself, I don't really want a baby or a child, but I can't imagine dying having never been a mother. What a way to go into motherhood. So that's what I did. So we had a babe, and as soon as I was pregnant, I was really excited, and I loved all the pregnancy bit. I mean, my husband says that's not true, and I didn't like some of it, but I've just properly put on rose tinted glasses and we're like, it was amazing, my body was incredible. And then I had the baby, and holy shit. I've been trying to write about this lately and trying to sort of gather my thoughts on it, because it felt like it was just so many feelings and emotions. And I don't think I've ever managed to properly sort of communicate exactly how I felt with it, because it was so profound. And it just felt like those first few months were like everything was the same around me, and everything looked the same, and all the elements were the same, but it's like everything I'd known had been shoved into a NutriBullet, absolutely destroyed, molecularly all the same, and then just sort of thrown back on me in a completely different way. And I couldn't relate to it. I was just like, how do I exist here? How is Gogglebox still on? How are the posh couple chatting about nonsense and, I don't know, just like making silly remarks when my world is in freefall? Do they not know that I am having some kind of, like, I don't know, existential crisis? And it felt really hard. And I think I've spent a lot of the time like, I've just got to get through to the weekend. I've just got to get through to Wednesday. I've just got to do this. I've just got to go out. And it felt like a lot of peddling. And then at one point I realized there's no just getting through. It's not like you've got a work project and then when it's finished, you get to go to Greece for 2 weeks. Like, it doesn't end. And that sounds so stupid. Of course it doesn't. But to actually properly get your head around that fact that it doesn't end was quite... was quite a big one. So yeah, I found it completely life altering, but as everyone says, it does get better and it is all a phase. And now I feel absolutely great and fine, and she's brilliant at the moment. She's absolutely brilliant, but those first few months are so hard.
Absolutely. Are you a different parent to what you thought you would be?
I think so. I think I'm more... There's been positives and negatives. I am much more patient with her than I thought I would be. Much better at playing and happy to like occupy her, happy to go on really long, boring walks that, you know, other people think they're boring. But I love it.
Love it too.
Yeah, just watching her like wander around with absolutely no purpose and just like going mad because she's found a really good stone, or, do you know, like, that kind of thing. I find real joy in that. So that's really nice. But the negatives are I think I give in to her much more easily than I thought I would. It is, you know, I want a lolly, and I'm like, oh, it's fine, it's 7 a.m. have a anything for an easy life. And I think I do that a little bit too much, but also she is a toddler and it is trying to negotiate with a incontinent psychopath, so you do have to pick your battles.
It's really interesting because your Insta stories give us life. The way that you show parenting on your Instagram absolutely kills me. It's kind of how we're all feeling, but the way you put your humor on it, I'm like in tears some morning, especially with the whole like Peppa Pig situation where you're like, it's 5:30 in the morning. It sort of looks like you're in some sort of your hospital.
Asylum? Yeah.
So when people meet you, do they have any preconceived ideas about what sort of parent you are because of the way that you portray it on Instagram with all the humour?
I don't know. I know a lot of, I think if you follow me and you like, I don't know, if you follow me, you're going to like my stuff. Otherwise, you wouldn't bother following. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it sort of attracts the same like-minded folk. I've always been, my stand-up is always... Basically, I'm not very imaginative, so my stand-up is always about me. I can't make stuff up, so I'm just so self-obsessed that I write about me and my life always. So that's what the babe does. She's just a little idiot, and I really enjoy reveling in that. And you know, just she's so obviously all kids are hilarious and they do hilarious things all the time. And a lot of the time, you being trapped like a prisoner with the incontinent psychopath is inevitably funny when you're hungover and watching Mr. Tumble and wanting to kill yourself and Mr. Tumble, let's be honest. There's just so many, it just always leads you to funny situations.
Yeah, I love the way you document them. I really do. It really does, just so you know, it gives us life. It definitely gives us life. And it gives us, and also, a lot of parenting can be very serious and it can push you, right? It can push you right to the limits, to the highest of highs, but the lowest of lows. Did you experience any blues or lows after you had the babe?
Yeah, I think I did have, I definitely had lows in the first few months. I still don't know now. I'm like, because I'm trying to think about it, write about that time of my life a bit more. I don't know whether it was just regular blues. Was it a bit more than that? I don't know. It didn't. I was fine. I got through it. But I wonder if it was a bit more than normal, I say in inverted commas. But I did feel very, I felt very different. But I think it is. It's such a seismic shift. It was for me anyway. It was so, and I've used this word earlier, but it was so profound for me, the change in me and how I had to learn to relate to everything in my life differently. That was a really big shift. So that was definitely, there was a lot of lows at the beginning. Obviously you're also riding these strange emotions that these weird hormones are giving you that are not, it's hard to, you know, that they're not real as such, like they are just, you're just your hormones, but you are feeling every bit of that and so powerfully. So it does women a disservice to go, oh, it's just hormones. It's like, you can't understand what it is to live through that, like where you are feeling the lowest you have ever felt. And I absolutely did feel that I've ruined my life. A lot of the time, there was many, many moments where I thought, what have we done? We have ruined our lives. This was a huge, huge mistake. And I never felt like I wanted to harm my baby. I never wished her ill will, but there wasn't like the instant love. It was for quite a while. It was, I don't want anything bad to happen to you, but I don't love you yet. It definitely took a while to kick in. But then once they get fat and cute and, you know, start smiling and are just less like slug-like, then you've got something to work with. And gradually, you know, you build you do fall in love a little bit more every day. And then you get to a point where, you know, I just would find myself when she was about, I don't know, sort of 6-7 months old, I'd be reading stories to her and my mouth, I would basically have her, she'd be on my lap and her ear would be in my mouth. Like I would be that close to her. It was like I still felt like we were one and I was trying to get back to that. And I'm so used to just her being me and I am her. And it's just this profound connection. And she's absolutely given me a different perspective on life and just an absolute true love that I've never known. And I think it's quite a romantic love. Like I love her.
Yeah, I say it this. Yeah. I say this about Kit, because the way that I feel, and Axel, obviously George has got a boy, Axel as well, that the love between mother and son is also quite different to the love between mother and daughter. And it's like the only love that you have in your life with a male that you're not being romantic with, you've ever been romantic with. So you love them, but it's like the chemistry is there between male and female, but it's not a romantic love, but it's not a love that you've experienced before. Yeah. Very hard to put it into words, but it's like this all kind of gulfing feeling. It's very weird.
Exactly that. And it's like the truest love that you know you'll never get over. It's, you know, the honeymoon period will never die. Like I will adore her so passionately forever. And I love that. And it also brings with it incredible fragility and vulnerability. And you can't imagine anyone ever being mean to her or anything, you know, anything like that would absolutely destroys me. But at the same time, just the purity of the feeling is not something I don't think you can anticipate it because you can't know it. And it definitely, that took a while. It wasn't an instant thing. That's been the process of over a couple of years, just getting her.
Yeah, I mean, Zoe and I say quite a lot that essentially when you first have a baby, they are basically like a stranger living in your house that you have to do everything for. You're like a servant to a stranger. Like, literally. And it takes a while to adapt to. I mean, I didn't grow up wanting to be a slave to someone I didn't know. Yeah, exactly. But have you found like your lifestyle change? You know, obviously at the beginning it's very difficult. But then again, when going back to work, how has that been?
That was weird because I do creative stuff. There wasn't like a, you know, hard and fast maternity leave and you will be coming back on the 6th of July sort of thing. It was sort of a gradual thing. I foolishly signed up to do a nationwide tour when I was about 8.5 months pregnant. I agreed to do this. And I knew, so I had my baby in November and the tour was going to be starting in like the following August or something. So when the babe, I knew that I was going to have to start writing this tour. And when the baby was about 3 months old, I thought that would give me enough time. But having that incredible pressure shadowing, overshadowing that the newborn thing, I found that pretty horrible. And I wish in hindsight that I hadn't signed up to it. It's hard to sort of distinguish the success of the tour from the initial decision in that, like, you know, now I can look back and go, yeah, but I did it, didn't I? And it was really good. Yeah. So that's great and well done me. But also I know it wasn't the best decision for me to do that. So just because I did it and it worked out all right, doesn't mean it was the best decision. I found that difficult.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi, is back. And Series 2 has got some incredible guests lined up. Here is a little taster.
People see mental illness as a weakness, but I think people with mental illness are stronger.
I'm a proud gay man now. I don't feel proud every single day.
So then I had to go about the task of trying to accept it because I wasn't going to get plastic surgery and I wasn't going to change it.
You know, those moments in your life, it was like a thunderbolt.
And was it really?
A big time.
The conversations I've been having have blown my mind and I cannot wait for you guys to hear what's to come. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss one of our amazing episodes. They will be out every Wednesday morning. That's The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we? Like you said, you've never experienced anything like this before having a child. So you don't know. You think, oh, 3 months. Yeah, great. Nobody can explain it to you and nobody can show you until you actually live it. So you would say yes. And as a freelancer, you know, you've been a freelancer your whole life. You say yes. You don't say no.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also felt like there was also times where I got offered when the baby was a few months old, there was this job that would mean I'd have to go to Spain for 4 or 5 nights. Yeah. And I think it was going to be in like 2 months' time. And I was asked to do it when she was maybe 2 months old. And at the time, 2 months old, it was an absolute impossibility for it to happen. I just couldn't understand how it could possibly happen. But by the time it came around, you're in such a different headspace. 2 months along is a long time. Yeah. So it was actually much better than I thought it was going to be. I found a lot of the times, in many respects with things to do with the child, that the prospect is much more stressful than the reality. And I think that's a lot of the time you have to like just you can kind of trust yourself that it will be okay, and you know, you'll deal with it as it comes along. But and it was in the end, it was actually lovely because I left. It was all like, shall I take the baby with me? How would that work? In the end, I left the babe with my husband and his mum. He's Australian. His mum was staying with us for quite a long time, so I left them with those two, and they had an absolutely lovely. So and I got to sleep in this beautiful hotel in Madrid for 3 nights. Oh, yes, please. Yes.
Heaven. What's not to love? That sounds like a dream.
Yeah, it was pretty
Where
lovely.
Go now?
Apart from like breast pumping in random women's offices and like offices in like museums in Madrid, there was nowhere else for me to breast pump. And it was an all male crew. They were very like, oh, you need to go and do your thing, do you? And just sort of shove me in a cupboard. But I did it. It's fine.
Oh my God, you are a hero. Well done. How did breastfeeding go? When did you decide to stop? What was that process like for you?
I was quite lucky, really. I'd always thought, I think breastfeeding's going to work out for me. I've never been a big fan of my boob, but I've been told, I've always boob.
Or
I do
boob
do.
Or boobs.
Is it boob?
Just the right one. I've always been pretty indifferent about my boobs. Never really liked them. They've never been favourite part of my body. But I've always been told, my mum's always been like, no, you've got boobs like me, you'll be really good at breastfeeding. So lo and behold, they finally came into their own. And yeah, she latched all quite well. And it all went pretty smoothly, aside from two horrific stints of mastitis, which I have never known anything like it. So I think the first one, she was 5 weeks old or something. I am the lowest I've ever been. By that point, the exhaustion is really kicking in. And then nature decides, not only that, plus, you know, I had a cesarean. I found the recovery from that pretty awful. Then nature was like, hey, do you know what? Let's infect your tits. And I have never felt so poorly. It was like the worst flu. I was sweating. I had such a bad temperature, shivering. That, and you've still got a newborn to look after. And thank God my mum and dad just swooped and came in, picked me and the babe up from London, took us back to Essex, and they were just incredible. My mum was like the night nurse and just took the baby away between feeds and meant I could properly rest and get better. But that was awful. But I carried on doing it. But it still felt, I don't know, it just felt like the easier option. I couldn't be asked with sterilising and stuff and like sorting out, you know, in the middle of the night. I just thought it was, I don't know, I just wanted to do it. I wanted to do it for whatever reason. So I carried on. My husband would do a feed that was first expressed, but then we switched to formula about, I don't know, from about 4 weeks old, I think she had that bottle about 10 p.m. He did that feed, and that was really great just to get some respite.
Yes,
and
then, that is good, isn't it, that one?
Oh my God, yeah, the dream. And then I think she switched to, it was sort of half formula, half boob, and I think I properly gave up boob at about 7-8 months. She was only having one in the morning, and she'd got bitey, and I thought, I was quite emotional about the end of the journey. But then she was biting, and I was like, oh, it's not emotional anymore, you little sharp. So that was quite a good end in a way. Because I was like, the magical story has definitely ended. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I loved just the ease of it, of just having to go out and be like, right, got my baby, got my boobs, job done. But I was lucky, and I had lactation consultants. I got a couple of them in because that really helped. And I know that's a really privileged thing to be able to do. Lucky, it's just luck of the draw if it works out, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And actually it's interesting because some, you know, mums get on with it really well and they love it. And I think that journey is really interesting. And actually it's a bit of a grieving process when the mum finally says, you know, enough is enough now. They really go through it. Other people like Georgia, you know, didn't get on with it, did you? You just didn't enjoy it.
No, I didn't enjoy it. And it not either time round. And it's interesting when you say about mastitis, because with my first, after 5 weeks, I got mastitis. And that was the time I thought, this is nature telling me it's over.
It's over.
This is not, exactly. Second time round, it was easier, but I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't. It worked, but I wasn't enjoying it. So I didn't stick with it for too much longer.
Yeah. I think if you can get that right, it's that process, isn't it? You think you might think you're going to, you know, it's going to work and it's all going to happen and baby's going to look up at you and latch on. And then other times it's like toe curling agony that just goes on. I remember once a midwife coming around and I was saying, look, my boob's bleeding, my nipple's oozing, it's pussy, what should I do? And she was like, bless her, she was like, I think just just feed through it. And I was like, I'm just not sure if I've got it in me. You know, you do go through it, don't you? It's hardcore.
Yeah, I remember like I'd get like my boob was getting a bit lumpy, which was always a sign that mastitis might be on the way. And then my husband would be like, you're going to have to do, you can't sleep for that 10 p.m. feed. You need to do the 10 p.m. feed with your boob because otherwise you're going to get, and I'd be like, no, that's my time. But I'd have to do it because I know that I would like, yeah, I might get mastitis again. I just couldn't risk it.
Yeah. Ellie, you're working with Water Wipes at the moment. Talk to us about that campaign.
Yeah, so I started working with them during lockdown, and it was they wanted to do this initiative called Early Days Club, which was the idea of it was sort of like an online support group for new parents in lockdown who didn't have any of the access to things that, you know, in usual times you do, so baby clubs and breastfeeding cafes and that sort of thing. And I am, since I've become a mum, I'm like the most annoying person when it comes to anyone with a newborn. I latch onto you, excuse the pun, and I will bombard you with one of my friends has just had a baby, and I've have to like really rein in my texting because I just want to say to them the whole time, any new parent, you're doing amazingly, oh my god, it's so hard, did you know how hard, isn't it hard, it's fucking hard, isn't it, are you mental, are you going mental yet, don't worry, the mentalness will pass. So Water Wipes doing this Early Days Club, it was a place where new parents could log on. We did a few chats, we had different healthcare professionals giving advice, answering questions. There were some new parents on there. So the first one we had, Mylene Klass and Ryan Thomas. Ryan, who had a baby with Lucy Mecklenburg, who just before lockdown. So they were proper in the midst of newborn, but with no access to any other help. And I just remember, because it's all about me, I just remember what it was like to be in those newborn days. And I cannot imagine not having the support that I did from family and friends. And I just felt so passionate about being involved in a project that could give some help to new parents in these really, really tricky times. It was basically just, regardless of circumstance, to know that these people were not alone and other people are going through it and other people have been through it. And through all this chaos, we sort of answered questions and, you know, had some great poo stories.
We love a poo story. Up the back, up the neck, through the on the ears.
I thought you were going to say through the ears then. I was going to go.
That is constipation.
Kids can shit, okay? My kids can shit when they want to.
So it's this, just really lovely initiative, and I'm so pleased to be a part of it.
That sounds amazing. And also, we know that Lucy and Ryan, obviously, they had all their cow's milk protein problems with their son, so they like Lucy's really been through it actually. We've seen nightmare, so for her it probably was a really nice outlet.
And she was saying really interesting things, like, you know, the first time she took the baby out, you know, they went out to a restaurant, she'd never breastfed in public because would she, because you've been in lockdown, so she's trying to and they didn't quite know how to work the car seat because they haven't really used it. So it's all these like firsts you would have done in the first few weeks that she's sort of dealing with months and months and months in, which is not something I considered, all these strange little hurdles that lockdown parents are having to cope with.
I was just thinking about that actually, because what day do you actually physically go and see a midwife? I think it might be like day 4 or day 5 you actually have to leave the house. And in some ways I used to look back and think, gosh, that's really soon to expect, you know, a new mum to turn up to an appointment on time. First, like on time, you know what it's like, they do a poo and you think you can't leave the house. But actually those things do set you up for, you know, going forward. If you've been out of the house for 5 days, because you have to be, because you have to get to an appointment, it's slow becomes normal and you kind of get into life a lot quicker, I guess. But if you've been at home in a proper bubble for months, not being able to see anybody, I can't actually imagine what that feels
as
like.
New mother.
How daunting it is. How daunting that is to go out and breastfeed in public, or even know how to, you know, what to do with formula when you go out. Because if you're at home and you're used to, you know, having your machine or your kettle or whatever, it's a lot actually. It's a lot to consider and a lot to take on.
Yeah. So I think any new parents in lockdown have just had such a rough time, especially with not being partners not being allowed in there for the whole of labour and being sent out for visiting hours. It's just been such a rough time for pregnant women and new parents. So any help that that I could offer in any stupid way was very, very welcome. And I think it was, yeah, it seemed to really resonate with people, and it was just a lovely, really kind thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really great. That's kind of what we're all about as well, to be honest. We always open up our doors to new parents, or any parents really, but it's kind of about that thing that we're all in this club together. Chuck in a pandemic as well, and you're like, you feel like you're drowning.
Yeah, and do you know, I loved like this kind of podcast when I was pregnant. I found so useful because I wasn't maternal before. I had no experience with babies. I barely held a baby. So to sort of hear other people's experience. I mean, I know some people do not want to hear about births and all that stuff, and they don't want to hear any negative experiences. I wanted to hear everything. I wanted to learn everything. I couldn't have enough information. So this kind of chat now where you also can say, God, it's absolute dog shit at the beginning and your baby is like just a slug on the floor, but don't worry, it will get better and they will do fun things like wave goodbye to poo-poos down the loo. Like it's there's highs and lows.
talking about highs and lows, describe to us how parenting was in lockdown for you. How was your relationship? What were the struggles? What were the challenges? Where did you go to let off steam?
It was really hard. So my husband is, he's a journalist. He's a full-time employee of a big news network. So he was working the whole way through from home, but he was in and out. He was traveling still. So as a freelancer, Muggins ended up being full-time parenting, which is of course, someone has to do it. But initially it was really hard because I was so resentful. I was like, my job is important and I enjoy my job and I want to continue. I want to be able to write, but also someone needs to look after the baby. But he's like, someone's paying my salary. So, inevitably he had to take priority. So I found it really, really hard. Once we got into more of a rhythm, that was better. Worked out what I did. You know, you sort of find your pattern. She would have a lot of like afternoon baths, like a sort of glamorous, I don't know, sort of 70s writer. there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, we played with sand. It was like anything, if I could hoover it up or wipe it up, she could do anything. I didn't care. Just anything that would fill the time. And once we were loud walks. I mean, there was an awful 2-week period where we didn't know if we had a coronavirus, so we had to stay in and I didn't leave the house. I still don't know. How did I not leave the house for 2 weeks with a fucking toddler? I don't know how I didn't But it's all kind of gone now. I kind of blocked it all out. But we got through, and when we started getting we have a babysitter that we use quite a lot, and when we started being able to get her in, even for like a few hours, just to be able to leave her downstairs and just for me to come sit on my computer, oh my God, the relief. Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah. Because otherwise I was trying to juggle my work around her nap times. There was a point where my husband was away with work. He'd gone, to Switzerland or something for a few days, and I was filming a TV show called The MASH Report, which we were all doing remotely from home. So I had to set up a studio in my bedroom. I had to do like TV, hair and makeup, and also have this child. So I had to like do it around that, put her down for bed, and I was doing it like while she slept. So it was some full on times. But do you know what? It could have been, a lot worse things happened to people during lockdown. So we're fine. And we did it. And also, we got to have lunch together every day as a family, which we never would normally do. So
there's positives, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that there was some resentment in the beginning because obviously your husband's job took priority. And as a freelancer at home, you kind of had to fit in and around. Mm-hmm. Do you think your relationship changed on the whole when you became parents?
Oh my God, so much. And that was the weirdest realization that I had when we came home with a newborn, that a lot of my feelings were sadness about my relationship, because I felt it was odd. I had not anticipated this at all, but it was just like you become sort of two, like you said earlier, Georgia, you're two servants that are on opposite shifts. So yes. I'd have the baby for a bit, he'd go off, or, you know, vice versa. And I just remember seeing my husband was so, he was just so tired, but trying to just muddle through. And I just wanted him to be fun. And the lightness in the house had gone, and I felt so sad. And obviously I'm sure I was projecting my own hormonal journey onto that. But I remember one specific time that it was like early evening, and he was like, right, I'm going to go and get a bit of sleep in before, you know, I take the next shift. And he went upstairs, and I was sitting down like with the baby downstairs, like, okay, see you later, bye. And he went up the stairs, and I just absolutely, like, I howled, like just sobbing of like, oh my God, we've ruined everything. There was just so much sadness around. I just felt sad for him and sad for us. And I didn't know how we worked anymore, because there was no relationship. We were like just this team of survivors trying to get through this really hard time. And it was a proper grieving process for the life that we had. I wasn't talking about wanting to go out raving or anything. I just wanted to have some
time with him.
Time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was a really difficult thing to navigate. I don't know if he would necessarily feel like it was that dramatic for him, but that's certainly how I felt. And I think the whole of parenting is, it's all about, I think resentment is the key word. The resentment can build up very easily. And a lot of the time it's just making sure, you know, you're communicating properly. And it was little things. I remember I got really cross with him. Like he said, when the baby was little, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. And I was like, you just get to say that, but I can't just go to the gym. Don't say that. Yeah. You've got to say. And I was like, I know it's probably playing with semantics and it's unnecessary, but can you please say, just for my own sanity, can you say, do you mind if I go to the gym tomorrow? Just put it as a question rather than a statement that you get to fuck off and I have to stay at home because I've got the boots.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for saying all of that, because I actually think you've articulated it really well. A lot of parents feel like that grief. Because it was only ever just you and him, and that's the way it was. And you did all these things and you had this amazing life. And then suddenly, like Georgia said, there's a stranger here that you're having to look after, and you're on different sides of the planet at that point. It's very hard. And that's why you hear a lot of couples do crumble at that in that moment. And you can understand why. It's not the life you want, but you do get through it and you come out the other side. And that's what you've got to hang on to, I think, because life does resume normality. And actually it's better, because you're not drowning at that point. You're then thinking, well, I've got my new flow now, and I've actually found the love with my partner again, hopefully deeper, because we've created a human together. It's quite cool.
Exactly. And also, like you said, when you were like, you know, you're working as a team from the beginning. So, and that only builds, you know, even if you're tag teaming, like to, you know, feed and sleep and all that kind of stuff, you're learning how to work together, just in a different way, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that is lovely. And now there are times where I do think, God, we are such a good team, and we are, you know, when we're at our best, we can be really kind and thoughtful to each other, which I think is, I mean, you cannot overestimate the importance of kindness in any relationship, especially when there's a child around. And we sometimes we just absolutely smash it. And then there are other times where I hate him and I'm flicking him the finger behind the door that he's just closed. So that's
fine.
Again, highs and lows, highs and lows. But yeah, when it works and it's great, it's great and it's amazing, and you feel really like, yes, we're doing this really well. But I always remember, so I do a podcast with Anna Whitehouse, who's Mother Pucker, online.
Oh, we love Mother Pucker.
Oh, she's a treat. So Anna writes fantastic books. And I remember her telling me that she did an interview for one of her books, and it was about this older lady, and she was basically saying that the first, I don't know, 5 years with a kid, it is essentially just survival. And this older lady was like, just hold on. Just hold on through this bit. You can't split up. It's not like a fair judgment on your relationship to split up right now, because this isn't your real relationship. Let's get through the survival mode bit and then emerge at the end, and you'll have like your time together, which sounds, I mean, 5 years or whatever is bloody long to hold on, isn't it? But it does make you go, yeah, this is your life right now, but it's not representative of what it will always be like, and it won't be quite so separate, and you will have more time together as, you know, as a couple again.
Love that. Ellie, final question, because I know you're very busy your end. Talk to us about having another baby. I'm going to go there. Are you thinking about it? Are you having one? Are you trying? What's happening?
I don't know. I would like one, but my husband is 100 years old and doesn't know.
If he's got his sperm left, that isn't too old for.
Yeah, they'll be doddering around on freckles in his brains. I don't know. There's a million different things. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Regardless, I've got such a little smasher of a tyrant, so I feel very lucky.
Just do lots of practicing, loads of shagging. Everyone's happy.
Lots of practicing.
Yeah, that's what new parents are absolutely famed for. All the shagging that you do, bloody hell, Zoe.
Now the babe's two, you can get back to it. There you go. Ellie, I love you. We love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. That was brilliant.
Oh, pleasure.
We needed that. We needed a laugh, didn't we?
I love Ellie. She's brilliant, isn't she?
Yeah, brilliant. She really cheered me up, actually. Really cheered me up.
But also, I love how honest she is. Like, you're not going to get anything but the truth from Ellie, and I really appreciate that in parenting. So she just she says what we've all been through and how we're all feeling, and she says it in a really funny way.
Yeah, she puts it in a really good way, and everyone has to find funny in the chaos, don't they?
Oh god,
I think
that's
what we've all got to do at the moment.
And I really love the fact that she's doing that project with water wipes as well. A really good deed.
Yeah, it's actually a really lovely campaign. And hopefully, you know, it's helping some parents out there who can't get to the groups and can't access the support. So, yes.
Love
definitely
that.
Check it out. Yeah.
Well, as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, please. And if you do have time to give us a little 5-star review, that would be lovely. And of course, feedback, as always, much appreciated.
Yes, please do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you on Friday.
All together now. Fucking hell. No? Bye, mate.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.